WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Shay Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. That's 855-915-WMFO. Punch that into your phone and then delete the buttons on your phone. So it's the only number you can call because we love to hear from our listeners.
We do.
Coming up later tonight, it's been a slow news week.
It has. It was actually like difficult to come up with news stories for tonight. I'm not going to lie to you.
It was a great news week if you like wild sexual assault allegations. If you were into anything else.
If you want any other form of news media, then, you are, word I can't say on the radio, out of luck.
Yeah, you're kind of.
You are poop out of luck.
Kind of the wrong place. kind of the wrong place for that. But we are going to talk about some interesting stuff tonight. We're going to give you some recommendations of things to do during the brief season of fall that you are not going to want to miss. And we're also going to be talking about, what are we talking about? What's the other thing, Shay?
Republicans and how cool they are now.
Oh, yeah. Everybody likes Republicans now.
I say that very facetiously.
Everybody likes Republicans now. It's true.
Republicans are so cool.
It's true. I'm not a Republican anymore, so I can't even.
I was going to say, I remember the day that you decided that. It really hit me to my core.
Well, it's because I wanted to vote for Bernie. And,
That's a really good reason to stop being a Republican.
I pretty much did a hard...
I mean, there's lots of good reasons to stop being a Republican, but that is a pretty solid one.
I did a pretty hard turn there, you know?
I remember when you told me you were supporting Bernie, I was like, oh my God, are Derek and I about to, like... start agreeing on stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm comfortable with this.
I mean, the thing is, I've always been an independent, you know?
Yeah, you've always been a right-leaning independent.
Yeah, and...
Like, I'm a left-leaning independent.
But, you know, there's plenty...
Even though you like to say that I'm a liberal dum-dum.
Well, you are, but...
I'm not a liberal... Oh, shut up.
Well, you're a liberal millennial dum-dum, so it, you know, you're really... You're ticking off a lot of boxes, Shay, is what I'm saying.
None of those things.
But... I didn't like anything that the Republicans were putting forward. I like John Kasich. And honestly, would have voted for John Kasich and still would vote for John Kasich if he made it through the primaries. But
which is always, you know, the...
But here's the thing.
The big thing.
Massachusetts, I have a choice. It doesn't matter who you vote for as a Republican in Massachusetts. It doesn't. It has zero impact on anything.
Yeah, because, we are obviously going to get into this more and more as elections unfold in the future, but therein lies, as we've discussed many times on this program before, the failure of the Electoral College, which is just that it feels as though your vote pretty much doesn't matter if you live in a state like Massachusetts. Much like in, you know, there's several states where it's basically, if you're not a swing state, it's kind of like, well, I mean, I'm going to vote, but...
Yeah, exactly. And it's like,
my vote doesn't feel as important as someone in Ohio's vote does.
If you're voting Republican in Massachusetts.
You're basically, like, yeah.
Why am I even here? Why am I even showing up for this?
You are.
You know, and actually, I did not vote for... I did not vote for Hillary in the general. This is a well-known fact. I voted from the guy from Utah. And the hope for a constitutional...
I think that just out of protest, I wrote in Bernie.
Yeah.
Just out of like...
Well, I was kind of hoping, you know, we'd get to a dead heat between the two of them. Neither one of them would get
the official...
And then that ex-CIA guy from Utah would have a shot at being the president. Because
that would be very funny if that ended up working out.
I knew very little about him, but there was nothing about him that I loathed as opposed to the mainstream party candidates.
God, I hate that. And I mean, that's one of the biggest things that I, and obviously we're going to get into this later in the program, but I talk very often about and very passionate about the fact that the sheer fact that there is such a thing as two mainstream parties is absurd. Especially given the fact that we are a nation that's a melting pot. We are a nation of people who have very different opinions, backgrounds, lifestyles, which almost none of which fall into one of these two categories that have been set forth.
We've had like 200 years almost to move away from a two-party system. Yeah. And we've just never done it. We like two parties. Well, that's who we are as Americans.
Well, what I love too is that a lot of Americans aren't even, they don't even really understand the evolution of the party system. Like, that's what I love. My favorite people are those ones that are like, well, you know, Abraham Lincoln was a Republican.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, you want to look at what Republicans believed in the time that Abraham Lincoln was a Republican? Because it looks pretty Democrat style.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, it's, I mean, it's stupid. I don't know why. I mean, I understand why we have parties like in the, on paper, in terms, you know what I mean? Like, on paper, I understand like the reasoning for it and things like that. But in execution, it's pretty silly.
But like, you don't even have to go back that far. All right, take a look at Lyndon Baines Johnson, and tell me that guy would ever stand up as a Democratic candidate today.
Oh yeah,
like,
totally.
Southern Democrat was another word for Republican, and that was just, you know, 50 years ago, 55 years ago.
Well,
We're not even going that far back in time.
Well, and even, I mean, and with that in mind, like, even my sister is one of the smartest people that I know. And she was registered as a Democrat for a long time. I don't think she still is. But I remember having a conversation with her where I said, like, so you agree with all of this stuff. And, like, I laid out all of these Democratic standpoints. And she's like, like 60-70% of them. And I was like, yeah, that's my whole point. Yeah. Is, and she said, she's like, oh my god, like, you're right, I'm totally not a Democrat. And that's the same with whenever you lump me into the liberal pool. It's like, I'm not registered. I'm registered as an independent.
Yeah, well, as am I, as are all good people. But,
as are all people with all those, but, with those, know, those big pink things in the middle of their head called brains.
There's a shift happening, kids, and we're going to talk about the shift. But we've got other things that we probably ought to discuss.
We do.
Before we get to that.
Mm-hmm.
If
you can do the music cue properly.
Hey, almost worked. Came pretty close.
I give us like a month or two, and Derek's totally gonna nail it.
All right, just to, you know. For those new to the program, or for those who have listened for a long time, we have combined the news and Did You Hear? So it's the news and a quiz,
which I've been enjoying quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a better show, and I'm going to be able to stop
explaining
that. High
five across the board
for this week.
Okay, for me, I'm going to say Marshfield shooting for local news.
I forget the name of the guy involved in this, but he shot and killed his wife.
Alan Warner.
Yes. Chased his wife in a car, shot and killed her, and then ran and hid in the woods off of Main Street on Marshfield.
Yeah, cute, right?
Triggering a complete shutdown of Marshfield on Monday night as a manhunt for an active shooter took place.
Which is like, I mean, I don't know, for those of you who haven't been to Marshfield, it is a very, it's a sleepy between Boston and the Cape Town. It's not, they are not used to things like that happening there.
There's woods on Main Street.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, there's literally woods on their Main Street. Well, what's crazy though is that it's come out that Shayna Warner was the woman that was killed. She had filed for divorce three times in the last 7 years from Alan Warner. They married in Las Vegas in 2008. Shocker that didn't end up being a lasting union. But she filed for divorce in 2011, 2017, and 2018. In her first filing, she claimed that Alan had been physically and verbally abusive due to his drug use behavior. And she was, as Derek said, she was shot in the head and left in a wrecked car on 3A, which is crazy. I was just driving there on 3A by her husband on Monday night, which she was pronounced dead later that evening. But he was arrested yesterday, finally found, and taken to Marshfield for booking. He was arraigned for murder today. But despite the multiple filings, I just found this so interesting. Their divorce was never finalized. And she just kept dropping the requests. And what I thought was insane, especially insane, is that the March 2017 filing, she requested a divorce citing, "I have never heard this before. Irretrievable breakdown." That was her cause for filing for divorce.
I've heard irreconcilable differences. I've never heard.
I was going to say, that's the thing, is irreconcilable differences. I've heard irretrievable breakdown means like, things have fallen apart. Like, that is the picture that that creates in your brain, is things have straight up fallen apart. But goodness, I can't imagine. I mean, I grew up, I went to high school with chicks from Marshfield. It's crazy to think about this happening there. Because it is, like I, like you said, there's woods off of Main Street. It's a very sleepy beachside town.
Yeah.
Like it's the thing most that, of, it's called Marshfield because most of it is a marsh.
The thing that breaks my heart about this particular story, and I've seen this happen before. She's on the phone with 911 telling them that her husband is chasing her. Why isn't someone coming to help her?
Exactly.
Where are the police?
Well, and that's, well, and especially,
I mean, it's Marshfield. There's two police, and they may be on the other side of town, but it's like,
but what else do they have to do?
Get somebody to go help this woman.
Like, seriously, like, okay, I'm sorry if I'm interrupting you from stealing that 30 rack from the 19-year-olds that have it, but that's pretty much all you're doing right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's an understatement to call it a shame, but it's just a true shame.
How does it happen?
Especially given the fact that this is such a small town, and I mean, it's not, I'm not saying it's like Middleborough. It's not like the middle of nowhere, but it is a relatively small town. Everybody knows each other. The sheer fact that there was already a court record of her having complaints against her husband should red flags flying up everywhere, like should warrant immediate action.
But it's like, if someone is chasing you, we need a police protocol in place and what you do in that situation. You know, like, how quickly can you get someone to respond to that?
Yeah.
Where should the person being chased go?
Yeah. You know? Excellent point. That's another thing, is that we don't really have anything in place in terms of, it's, I mean, I've never had someone chase me in a car before, but it stands to reason that there should be I can tell, especially given the day and age that we're in with the technology that we have. Okay, I can tell that you're on this route. There is a mall, or there is a large grocery store that's still open such and such miles from you. Pull around to, like, you know what I mean? Like, there should be some sort of protocol in terms of finding them a safe place to hide.
Yeah.
Finding them a safe place to go.
Yeah. Or at least, you know.
As opposed to the side of 3A is a main, for those of you who don't know, 3A runs all the way up all the way up the coastline of Massachusetts. It's the alternative to Route 3, which is the highway. 3A is the low way, if you will. But it goes, I mean, 3A goes from, I think it turns into something down the Cape, but from basically from Plymouth all the way up to until you get to New Hampshire. And so this is a main road that she's being chased on by her husband.
Yeah.
Like, this is, it's absurd that there was no way to save this woman. Or I'm sorry, that nobody did save. There was, of course, a way to save this woman, but that nobody did save this woman.
We really ought to be looking into some sort of an answer for that situation.
He apparently stabbed her as well. I'm reading an updated delineation of the story.
Yeah, well,
he stabbed her and shot her and ran her over.
Yeah, this guy, how does he even have the opportunity to do this? You know, that's my question. Where are the police? What do we do in this situation? This isn't the first time that we've heard about someone being chased by someone and, you know, the person who's being chased winds up dead. So I'm looking for someone to give me an answer, someone in law enforcement, on what we do in these situations to try and help these people, get to safety.
Well, and apparently they were estranged. They were separated. And he was reportedly, quote unquote, well known to authorities.
Yeah.
Which means...
But that doesn't, you know, that does, it's not like the cops are following this guy around all the time being like, what are you doing today, Bob? Yeah.
But again, I mean, even growing up in Quincy, which is a much larger place than Marshfield, there were people that, like, I would, you know, I knew a lot of the cops lived in the neighborhood I grew up in. So I knew them well, and I'd see them around town, say hi to them, and they would. Literally, there were people that they say, you staying out of trouble, to the people walking by? Like,
right.
They knew the people who were repeat offenders, who were someone they had to keep an eye on. And in a place like Marshfield, it's like, I mean, of course, there's bad people everywhere, but most people in Marshfield are very, you know, they chill. There's a reason they live in a place surrounded by woods and marsh. Yeah.
But it's also a place where, like, the lone nutbag can hang out
undetected. That is true.
Not attract a lot of suspicion, which gets to be an issue. Okay, local news. Woosock Stadium.
Woosock Stadium. Paw Sox are moving to Worcester.
Yes, and?
And it's going to be awesome.
Yes, and the Worcester City Council last night voted 9-1 to approve a $100 million bond to build a ballpark for local baseball oligarchs John Henry, Tom Werner, and Larry Lucchino, who could build this stadium with their spare change.
Hey, if you guys want to, I'll start a GoFundMe tonight. If you want to contribute to me paying rent on Monday, since I just had to pay $800 to fix my car, which has rendered me broke, that'd be great. Thank you. Now, it's insane that people have that kind of money lying around. Now, like, I'll build a stadium, whatever.
Now, Shay, you may look at this story and be like, 9-1. So there was a good, honest politician who said, this is a massive boondoggle. We can't do this to the good people of Worcester.
One of their rivals, I imagine?
No. One city councilor abstained because he works for a company that will profit from the Pawtucket Red Sox move to Worcester.
Of course.
Surprise. Have fun, Worcester. You're going down.
Oh, my goodness.
You're going down the hole because you're being sold out by your elected officials to the baseball oligarchs.
That was my least favorite thing I learned in college was revolving door syndrome.
Yeah.
I will never forget learning about that. For those of our listeners who don't know what that is, it's the concept that is very real in our society where people at the head of business, of corporations, of what have you in the country will hold those positions and then remain friends with people in politics. And the people in politics will pass policies to help those people. They get out of politics. They get put onto the board of directors of these companies.
Yep.
And then those heads turn around and revolve into positions of power in politics. And it just keeps going like that. So the same, like, couple hundred people keep controlling everything. It's called revolving door syndrome. And it was the saddest day of my college career was when we learned that. I was like, okay, so everything's fixed and we're all screwed. Got it. Awesome.
Yeah, and you know what the worst part of it is? Is the people who find themselves in that situation are like the people who were the biggest jerks in high school.
Yep.
The people that you really didn't like are the ones who are...
I'm going to say, I swear to God, I forget his name because I never bothered to memorize it, but the rich kid who always wore silk scarves and tried to get me to go out with him, but I didn't because he was a feminine product you clean your lady parts with.
Nice.
He is one of those people now, I know for a fact. Because he, like, and it, ugh, it's all like the worst people, the most hoity-toity in the worst way people that end up being these, I'm this and I'm that, and I'm this and I'm that, and I still have control.
Yeah.
So in national news, I'm going to say Julie Swetnick.
Oh, boy. All right. So,
yes, of course, so, in reference to what we were discussing at the start of the show.
Represented by none other than Michael Avenatti.
Oh, yes.
Julie Swetnick came forward today to say that she attended a number of parties with Brett Kavanaugh and his friend Mike Judge during high school. And she was gang raped at one of these parties after she was given drugs. This was a common thing, apparently, that happened at these parties. There were a number of gang rape parties that she attended while she was in high school.
Yeah, she did say that neither Judge nor Kavanaugh participated in her actual gang rape, but said that they were both present when it occurred, and said that she also, you know, she'd been to a bunch of these parties. It would just happen to be only one where she was the victim. But that she saw them literally in line, quote unquote, waiting for their turn with each girl inside a room.
Okay, let me ask the basic question. if you know there are gang rapes taking place at the parties, why are you still going to these parties?
Do you not remember what it's like to be in high school?
Would you have gone to the gang rape parties?
I probably did go to the gang rape parties, to be honest with you.
Were there gang rape parties when you were in high school?
I'm from Quincy. Of course there were gang rape parties when I was in high school. There was actually a rumor going around that I was gang raped. And I was like, no. It was just one guy and I was totally willing.
I don't think there were, because this kind of thing would have been scandalous. Absolutely scandalous in the 1980s.
But you have to think about... And again, like, think about, okay, so I was in high school from 2000 to 2004. You have to think about the fact that, honestly, it wasn't even, I make the joke about Quincy, it wasn't those parties that I would think about that with. It was the parties with all the guys from BC High, all of the rich kids that grew up in Cohasset and Scituate and places like that. That I'm not saying that it was probably as serious as what she's describing, but I'm sure it happened. And it's a matter of... You know, it's when you're a teenager, there's a level of willing naivety, both willing and unwilling. But number one, you are actually naive. And number two, even if you kind of have an idea that something is happening is wrong, it's like, oh, well, he's the captain of the football team and it's a good idea for me to be at his parties. You know, like I'm not saying that's okay or good or acceptable. I'm just saying that it is something that theoretically it makes sense that you might turn a blind eye until you're an adult and someone else comes out and talks about how it traumatized them, and then you kind of come out and go, well, actually, now that you mention it, looking back, like, there are so many things that happened when I was in high school that, looking back now, I realize how, and even things that I did when I was in high school, but looking back now, I think about how inappropriate and ridiculous and probably illegal
gang rape parties
they were. I mean, like I said, I don't know. And a lot of times you don't know what you're seeing until there's context placed. That's my point, is that I'm not saying that she's perhaps not embellishing a little bit for the sake of the story, but or maybe remembering things foggily, what have you. But there is something to be said for having something happen. I've had a lot of things, being a woman, having been a teenage girl, there are a lot of things that I can look back. And in the moment, I may have felt uncomfortable, but wasn't really sure if I was just being uptight or prude or what have you. That I look back now and I'm like, that really wasn't right. That really wasn't okay. And I think this may be an example of that. I think that this may be her kind of coming to terms with it herself.
We're talking about gang rape of a minor.
Yeah, by minors.
Take it doesn't matter if it's by minors. Okay, we're talking about gang rape of a minor, and not just one incident, several incidents of this. She makes it sound like this was a normal thing that went on. She had seen it happen at other parties. She saw Kavanaugh and Judge allegedly standing in line outside a room waiting their turn. Okay.
But again, this is my point, is that she may have not fully understood what was happening in that moment. She may have, for all she knew too, this girl was a slut. Like, for all she knew, this girl was somebody who was like, hey guys, I'm down to clown. Everyone come in and have their turn. That's the point I'm trying to make, is a lot of willful naivety goes into
there,
it.
There is a certain amount of that. That does occur, and I'm willing to accept that that does occur. I know situations where that has occurred. There are situations where teenage boys will go out and hire a prostitute, and everybody will go and have a turn with a prostitute, and that's fine. There is a world of difference.
Who told you about that? No,
there is a world of difference between that and drugging a classmate and gang raping her, okay?
And I'm not saying there isn't.
And this woman is certainly cognizant of her own gang rape, okay? So here's the thing. We are talking about a massive, massive crime. This isn't, he tried to take my clothes off. This isn't, he stuck his genitals in my face. This is gang rape of an incapacitated minor. Okay? So here's what needs to happen. This is what needs to happen before any of this ever goes to Capitol Hill. Okay? There's no statute of limitations on cases like this anymore. This needs to be put in front of the Maryland State Police. And this woman, Julie Swetnick, needs to give the names of everyone that she remembers being at these parties. Not just Judge, not just Kavanaugh, everyone that she remembers being at these parties, and everybody involved in this needs to be investigated. And if this happened, people need to go to jail.
I absolutely agree. But I question, I think that part of why this is so insane to you, and I'm not trying to play the gender card, but part of why this is so insane to you, part of why this is so insane to you is that you were never a teenage girl. You never, you've never had that feeling of this is, we grow up being told either literally or under, what's the word I'm looking for? Literally or
figuratively,
thank you, that we're supposed to do what the powerful dudes want us to do. Mind you, this has changed considerably, particularly in the last decade. But that being said, there is still the instilled patriarchy that says, here's this powerful guy in my school who wants me to do something.
But we're not talking about one guy.
No. Here's this powerful group of guys in my school.
Gangbangs.
I understand that, but I'm saying, like, I picture, and this is, I am in no way saying that this is even in the remote possibility of my brother and his friends in high school at all. But just for the sake of an example, my brother was one of the popular kids at BC High. He had a group of friends that were all the popular guys at BC High. They all were like on the sports teams and in like heads of all the clubs, class treasurer, all of that stuff. They would never, again, I know these guys really well, they would never do something like this. But I also know that every girl I went to high school with, if Jordan or Coleman or Dave or anyone asked them to do something when they were inebriated at a party, they're gonna do it.
There's a difference between that and drugging and gang raping somebody.
I'm not discounting that, but I'm saying as an example.
Stop, because we gotta move. I don't want to hear examples of I did this because of the popular kid. I was one of the most popular kids at BU when I was there. I was president of the student theater organization, second largest organization on campus, okay? Theater kids. This kind of crap did not go on.
No, I'm not saying they did it because of the popular kid.
Stop.
No, but you're not letting me finish.
What matters is the scope of this.
You haven't given
me a single example that rises to the scope of this. This is a massive, massive crime that she's talking about.
Yes.
I'm not discounting this. I got talked into it by somebody or I'm just following what the popular kids want. A crime like this has dozens upon dozens of witnesses.
I'm not.
Number one, okay? Number two, somebody in that group, I don't care how popular you are, I don't care if everybody thinks you're the living end, somebody in that group knew that that was wrong.
Yes.
And has a guilty conscience about it.
You didn't let me finish, had you? I'm not discounting that, and I'm not saying that a girl allowed herself to become gang raped because they were the popular guys. I'm saying that they didn't come forward, perhaps, because of that encroaching on their back. When I was raped in college, it was by a starting lineman on the football team, and I didn't come forward because he was on the football team,
right,
and I knew everyone would hate me.
Right.
This is the point that I'm making.
Okay.
Is that there is a good chance that these women, or at the time, these girls, while they knew it was wrong, while probably a lot of the guys involved knew it was wrong, had other people they were answering to, even if it was in the back of their mind, to stop themselves from coming forward.
This many years later, with that number of witnesses involved, there has to be somebody who is willing to come forward and stand up for her story.
Well, and that's why I think you're correct that she needs to name everybody that was involved.
Every single, not just
every guy. Which shouldn't be hard because she probably has a yearbook.
Everyone who was in the room, everyone who was in the house at every one of these parties, names. All of the names. Not just, oh, Brett was there. Names of everybody.
Brett was there. I'm sorry. I don't know why I think that's so laughable.
Divorce
has gone down amongst millennials.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
That's because we all, and I'm saying we because you already placed me a millennial, which, by the way, they You're say millennials millennial. Are 87 onward, and I was born in 86. So screw that, dude. But yes, they say divorce rates have gone way down in the millennial generation. And it's largely based on the fact that basically we're not doing the things, we're not doing things in the order that most married couples traditionally have.
I am so sick of your generation. Screwing up everything. Wrecking everything.
Oh, I'm so sorry that we're making the divorce rate lower.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're wrecking stuff because let me ask you a question.
I'm 32 and I'm not married. That's part of it.
Let me ask you a question.
Oh, God, I'm going to hate this question, aren't I?
Where will the next generation of hot-to-trot cougars come from if all these millennials stay married? You are upsetting the balance of middle age in America.
You're looking at one 15 years from now.
Won't somebody think of the cougars?
Oh, save the cougars. Well, the cougars are just going to stand outside high schools and wait for a guy to turn 18, and there we go.
Those are millennials.
I'm not a millennial. In world news, circumcision. I like this one.
Really? I didn't hear anything about circumcision this
week. You didn't hear anything about circumcision?
I actively avoid stories about circumcision. Already had one. Don't want to read about it.
I had for a long time after I get attacked by an anti-circumcision group when I made a circumcision joke.
I remember that.
Do you remember that? I had like 900 comments in 15 minutes. Yes. I was just talking about telling jokes for a Jewish summer camp.
That's called going viral.
Yes. It was the least happy day of my life. Jews and Muslims of Iceland are pretty angry right now because Iceland has voted to ban ritual circumcisions. The bill aims to outlaw circumcision when not for absolutely proven medical reasons, and was introduced by 9 lawmakers from 4 political parties. It claims that any parent allowing the irreversible procedure, it's not entirely true, you can have a reverse, but it hurts a lot, disregards a boy's right to self-determination. Those found guilty could face up to 6 years in prison. The proposal won support from around one-third of Iceland's doctors.
This is Iceland we're talking about, right?
Yeah. Iceland's pretty dope, though.
No, but there's like 15 Jews and Muslims in Iceland.
No, that's not entirely true. Ever since, actually, there was a Jewish man I was reading about.
A Jewish man. They found a Jewish man in Iceland.
There was a rabbi that I was reading about that wanted to escape the turmoil in the Middle East and moved there with his entire, I don't know what the Jewish word for congregation is because I'm Catholic, but whatever the Jewish word for congregation is, his entire temple, his whole synagogue, whatever, the people he leads, all of them went, I should really know that word. What is it, congregation? Would it just still be that?
That's a good question.
Right?
I mean,
because isn't Catholicism, it's his entire congregation or his entire flock.
I know.
Flock? Should I say flock?
I know my way around the Jewish faith a little bit. And I couldn't give you an answer to that.
I was going to say, that's the thing.
It's temple.
I know
everybody goes to temple, but you wouldn't.
Yeah, but you wouldn't call the human beings that are a part of the community the temple, because
right.
The temple's the place.
Or the Templars, because that's a whole different thing and we don't want to go there.
I was going to say, I know a decent amount, especially for a Catholic. I know a decent amount about it too.
That's a good question. I'm going to have to phone a Jewish friend and get an answer to that.
Yeah, if any Jewish people are, assembly?
Okay, yeah.
Assembly?
Yeah, that might be.
I guess.
Yes.
Bet Knesset? Knesset?
Knesset.
I was going to say, now I'm just reading.
Now
I'm just reading Hebrew translations.
But Knesset, as I understand, is just a Hebrew term for a group.
That's what I'm saying. Is there?
You could call
flock.
It a Knesset.
How do you say a flock?
I think assembly is the word that you're
assembly?
Looking for.
Assembly?
I think so. Which would translate as Knesset, but wouldn't necessarily be the
like
right word.
Like the exact, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, suffice it to say, this rabbi's assembly followed him too because I can never pronounce the name of the capital of Iceland ever.
Reykjavik.
Reykjavik. I always want to call it like Reykjanyak.
It sounds like it's spelled.
No, it does not.
Yes, it does.
Reykjavik.
Yeah, Reykjavik.
But they all went to Reykjavik because Iceland is very well known for being like very politically... politically and culturally and religiously tolerant. But it's, well, what I find very interesting about this is the sheer fact that when I was being attacked by all these anti-circumcision people, when I made, by the way, for our listeners, I think I spoke about it on the show, but if you don't know, I made a joke because I was every year at Nick's Comedy Stop, they have a Jewish summer camp from Canada of teenagers come to Boston for a couple days. And we do a comedy show for them where we like make fun of, they give us things to make fun of them for. But when I did the show, I wrote, about to do a show for a Jewish summer camp, so many circumcision jokes, so little time. And that was it. And I posted that when I parked my car. I walked into the club, said hello to the booker, said hello to the doorman, found out how much time I was doing, where I was in the lineup, looked at my phone, and I had 68 notifications. But all of them were basically yelling at me for endorsing circumcision, which I was like, I didn't. I was making a joke because it would be like if I was doing it for a Catholic summer camp and was like, so many molestation jokes, a little, like, you know, it was just, I was just being cheeky. But I did make the point where what I find interesting about this that so many doctors signed off is that a lot of doctors, at least in our country, view it as actually a health positive thing because you're less likely to get sexually transmitted diseases, yep, including HIV. Most men who are circumcised cannot get yeast infections, whereas it's actually very prevalent among uncircumcised men. It's a little known fact, men can totally get those. But yeah, I'm wondering, I really want to look into this more because I'm interested about their, like, background, the research that led to this decision.
I didn't think there were that. I mean, the whole population of Iceland is like 300,000 people, so I can't imagine.
Cool, because it's pretty cold most.
Yeah, maybe it's higher. I don't think it's that much higher than that. You know, Greenland's a 20-minute flight away, so they go get your circumcision in Greenland and then come home.
Yeah, 348,580.
Yeah, there's like 15 Muslims and Jews in Iceland.
But nonetheless, I mean, think about if you were the one Irish Catholic person in Massachusetts, and they said that you had to get circumcised, like, which I know a lot of Irish Catholics are, but there are a lot of us aren't. Oh, I'm not. I'm a woman, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like a lot of us aren't. I'm not because I don't have that thing. But it is. I mean, if you think about it, yeah, maybe even if it is like 40 people, that's still those are human beings. You know, like it's still.
Oh, I know.
It affects very few lives. It's affecting lives.
I'm just saying, you can charter a flight to Greenland and
go get circumcised.
Get your business done and, you know, come back. You can get a boat.
Oh God, I always just think of the Mighty Ducks too. Greenland is covered in ice, and Iceland is very nice.
Yeah, you know what, Greenland's got fishermen. They're handy with a knife. You just walk in any fishing village, someone can take care of that for you.
Oh, that's why they remind me so much of Irish people.
Ooh, that's not good. Military parade.
Military parade. That's definitely not in the research I did. Is there one happening in Boston? Did I read about that?
This is world news. This isn't.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so it's definitely not that. Yeah, I don't know.
So Iran was having a military parade to commemorate the start of the war with Iraq. And they were doing this in the town of Araz, which is in southern Iran. Gunmen opened fire, killing 29, and Iran has gone ballistic. In the days since then, they have accused Saudi Arabia.
I did read about this. United Arab Emirates.
Israel, United Arab Emirates, and indirectly the United States of America of being behind the attack, charging that they paid for the gunmen who carried out this horrendous attack. On Tuesday, Iran posted a video that suggested it would fire missiles at Saudi Arabia and Israel, then took it down before Iranian President Hassan Rouhani spoke to the United Nations. So they put it up. Oh, he's speaking to the UN. Take it down. I don't know what the video is. Once you put it up there, everybody's got it. Yeah. So everybody like wants to have seen the video.
It's like the Snapchats that, like, when those kids that have done this. There's a couple kids that like killed their friend and then did a Snapchat of it,
yeah,
thinking it'd go away. It's like you can screenshot that. Like,
yeah,
the if it's on the internet for more than a second, people have copies of it. And that's, oh, you know, it's so refreshing to have something new happen in the Middle East.
I don't know who's responsible for this, but whoever...
I can't... this is one of the first times ever that I can confidently say I cannot imagine it's us.
Whoever's behind it
is... We've got enough on our plate.
...is really stirring up the hornet's nest.
Yeah. This is like... That's like pretty much... all the places that you could... of all the bears you could poke... That is a big bear. That is the bear.
Yeah. So look forward to instability in that region for the rest of the year.
The rest of our lives, I fear. Okay, I'm going to say for sports, Chris Gronkowski.
That's Gronk's younger brother.
Yes.
Still playing college football, I believe.
Yes. He said something the other day.
Did he say the Patriots are bad and they need to play better?
In so many words.
Yeah. Well, I don't need Chris Gronkowski to tell me that. I watched the game the other night. The Patriots are bad. This is me, season ticket holder, Boston, sitting here telling you right now, the Patriots are bad.
Well, Chris Gronkowski actually had an interview with WEEI, which I'm sure anyone listening knows is our... is like the sports
station.
Was
he on Felga and Maz? Love Felga and Maz in the mornings.
But he was talking about how it's basically the Patriots planning and the way they're executing things fault that Rob Gronkowski's doing so badly. He's had a combined 6 catches for 66 yards in the last 2 games, both of which, of course, the Patriots lost. Shocker. But he was saying that like he's basically like, he's not being covered well enough.
Well, he's right. Gronk's double teamed.
Like, you're giving up 2 of your best defenders, 2 safeties or a corner and a safety to cover a tight end. Your guys on the outside should be able to win. It's just super frustrating to watch, and they've got to figure something out. He did say that he hasn't spoken to his brother about it, but he knows him well enough and obviously has played football with him growing up enough to know that he's very frustrated and that it's an issue.
Yeah. Well, listen, Chris Hogan, terrible so far this season. Okay. This is a guy who has been like a reliable wideout for the Patriots. He's been terrible so far this season. Philip Dorsett has been terrible so far this season. Cordero Patterson, I will give the benefit of the doubt because he's new to the system. And I don't think they're taking advantage of him as much as they possibly could. But really, if you want to beat the Patriots, double cover Gronk. That's all you got to do. Nobody else is getting open to get the football. And I'm going to put some of the blame on Bill Belichick because there are things he could have done in that Detroit game the other night. All right? Why aren't you running Rex Burkhead out of the slot? Well, he's got a concussion. We know he's not doing it now. But during that game, Burkhead's healthy. Why aren't you running Rex Burkhead out of the slot to put another potential receiver out there? Burkhead has the hands. Why aren't we using 2 running back sets to try and conceal what we're going to do? Maybe we're going to Sonny Michel. Maybe we're going to James White. Nobody knows. We walked in there, stumbled around for 3 hours on Sunday night, let Brady get sacked 6 times, and then what do you think is going to happen?
Well, and honestly, I will say that, again, you know, you, Derek, and you, our listeners, know I'm not, if it's not baseball, I don't care that much, but I have in the recent years tried to take an interest in football, and I will say that I think that there's definitely an impact from Gronk being injured last season. From him being out so many games that it's of course they can reestablish like the flow, the energy, like the dynamics of things, but it wasn't, hey, let's pick things up where we left off, because where they left off was without him. So I think that definitely has an impact in that obviously he's still just as good a football player, but there is a level of, oh right, we had this guy, we have to remember what we used to do with him. You know what I mean? Like it threw things off a bit that he was out so much last season.
As somebody who is still active in a survivor pool, as one of 2 people left standing in a survivor pool that has a $1,000 pot, a $20 buy-in, which will tell you how many people were in the survivor pool.
Jesus.
The only reason the other guy is still in is because he walked in and saw that I was the only one that took the Bears this past weekend and took them as well. Otherwise, I would have all the money in week 3. as someone still alive in my survivor pool, which I know very few of you can make that claim.
Every time I think I understand men, another thing happens.
Do not take the Patriots this weekend. Do not pick the Patriots if you are still alive in your survivor pool. I don't care about the history.
And this is coming
from take the Pats.
And this is coming from one of the biggest Patriots fans I know.
I don't know if they're going to win this thing. I know that Tom Brady is 14-1 in this game. Ugh. Okay, that's what history tells us. Right now, tells me that the Miami Dolphins are together and focused on offense, and New England is a joke. So, you tell me who's going to win. Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods. There's a name I haven't thought of in a while.
This is the second time I've mentioned him in a month.
I know, but I kind of tune out when you start talking about sports. He did something. He's playing right now in
tournament. Well, yes, he's playing in the Ryder Cup right now, but normally the season would be over.
Girlfriend?
No.
The Erica Herman thing?
No.
I don't know then.
He won the Tour Championship on Sunday. That's the name of the tournament. He didn't actually win the FedEx Cup. Justin Rose.
Like he won, it's called the Tour Championship.
The last tournament is called the Tour Championship.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was going to say the last one of the tour. Yeah.
Tiger won. It was his first time winning in 5 years. And it takes him to 80 wins overall. Three more. If he can get three more wins, he will move ahead of Sam Snead to have won the most PGA Tour tournaments in history.
Really?
Yeah. Three wins.
I'm surprised that it's not...
You think it'd be Nicholson or...
I was going to say, like Jack Nicklaus or...
one of those... Yeah, but Sam Snead.
Or Arnold Palmer.
Arnold Palmer, yeah. It's Sam Snead.
Or what's the guy who the drunken Arnold Palmer is named after? John Daly.
Yeah. 82 is Sam Snead's record.
That Sam.
Nobody likes Sam Snead, so that's why. It's sort of like, yeah, you won 82 tournaments, but you're kind of a jerk.
People are kind of on the fence about Tiger, actually.
Oh, no, they're not. Maybe the women are.
Women count as people, Derek. Last time I checked.
Callaway, their sales are way up. Like, everybody who makes golf stuff, their sales are way up. And they're like, the ratings for golf are way up. Everybody is thrilled to have Tiger Woods back and playing at a high level.
I was just discussing this with somebody the other day. Actually, a girl at my restaurant. I was discussing Louis C.K. And a girl in my restaurant was like, I'm going to have to excuse myself from this conversation. And before I say something, I'll regret. And I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. Shut up. But my point was, in the conversation was like, yeah, you did something stupid and callous and inappropriate. But that doesn't change the fact that he's an excellent comedian.
Right.
Which is the same as like the whole Michael Jackson pedophilia thing. Doesn't change the fact that he was one of the greatest singers of all time.
That also didn't happen, but that's...
I know. Like, that's... I know. A lot of people don't know, though. But the same thing with Tiger Woods. Like, okay, he cheated on his wife.
He cheated on his wife.
Like, and that's the example that I gave to this guy I was talking to was, like, say you had a doctor that his course of treatment cured your cancer, and then you found out that he cheated on his wife. Would he have any less cured your cancer?
Yeah.
Like.
it's, you know, in the grand scheme of bad things
not
you
cure,
can.
Not cure, but you know what I mean. Helps you recover.
In the grand scheme of bad things you can do to women, like cheating isn't that bad compared to some of the other stuff that we're hearing about these
Remember
days.
That story we talked about earlier about the guy who ran down his wife and stabbed and shot her?
Yeah, or the gang rapes. the drug-fueled gang rapes that Brett Kavanaugh and Mike Judge witnessed? Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I think infidelity is gross and terrible, and I will kick anyone in the shin who commits it. That reminds me, Will, I owe you a kick in the shin.
Wife is one of the most beautiful women on the planet and you're cheating on her, you're a dum-dum. That's just dumb. I mean, Tiger loses points for being dumb.
His wife was
gorgeous.
She is so hot. What's her name? Ellen?
Ellen
Nordgård. She's
Ellen
a Swedish
Nordgård.
Model.
Yeah, she was like a Swedish model.
Yeah. Yeah, oh my God, I'm looking at a picture of her now. She's
beautiful.
So hot.
Beautiful. Like, why are you cheating on her? You're dumb.
Yeah. You know what? She should have married Phil Mickelson. I think that would have been a better idea. Okay, entertainment. Do you want the softball or the hardball?
Give me the hardball.
Veronica Mars.
Give me the softball. But like, because nobody cares about Veronica Mars.
I do. I love Kristen Bell.
I know you do, but give me the softball.
Oh, shut up. Bill Cosby.
Yeah, so he's... no, but it's just... I
mean, come on. You knew that's what a softball was going to be.
But I'm saying, what I'm saying is, give me a story that has broad relevance. Okay.
Veronica Mars does have broad relevance.
That's what What's Hot is for. Is for you to geek out over things that are niche. Okay.
No, actually, my What's Hot is about a historical site.
Veronica Mars viewing numbers versus Bill Cosby viewing numbers. I mean, we're not even in the same.
Well, that's why I asked you for, we said it was a slow news week.
Yeah. So Bill Cosby, the cause, has been named a sexually violent predator.
I love that that's the specific words they use.
Sexually violent predator, and he's going to spend 3 to 10 in the pokey in Pennsylvania.
Did you also think that the 3 to 10 was a bit broad? It's usually 3 to 5, 5 to 7, 7 to 10. I thought 3 to 10 was very...
You know what?
Like, that's like, he's going to see the light of day again or he's going to die in prison.
Let me tell you what's going to happen here. He's going to be in prison for like 18 months.
Yeah.
And the 3 to 10 is, because it varies from state to state. Your earliest parole date is calculated based on an average of
I was going to say, it's always range. It's never what it actually is.
Right. So if they've given him 3 to 5... Like, the average of 3 to 5 is, like, 4, and then they take 60% of that, so he's out in, like, 24 months.
He's probably going to die,
months.
Though.
So by going to 3 to 10...
I don't mean to be rude,
3
but...
to 10, he may actually spend 2 years in prison. It is possible that he could spend 2 whole years in prison. I doubt it's going to happen. He's the cause... You know.
Well, what I thought was funny, though, is say it again. I want to get the wording properly. He sexually
violent predator.
Sexually violent predator. I had a very awesome discussion with my boss about this yesterday. This came out.
I would go see an R-rated movie with that title.
Sexually violent
predator.
Directed
by an Italian. I would go see that movie.
Well, because my boss said, he's like, I'm not defending what he did at all. But I feel like that's a weird way to define him as sexually violent predator, because he didn't like hit anybody.
Yeah, it was more like sedating predator.
Well, I looked at my boss. I said, Steve, you know how I get you iced tea sometimes? He's like, yeah. I was like, if I put cyanide in your iced tea the next time I got it for you, would you consider that a violent act? And he was like, yes. And I'm like, sexually violent predator. Yeah. Like, it's the same idea. I'm not going to put cyanide in your iced tea, by the way. I would never do that. I love you. But that's, I found that, but it is like, that's, I love that he's being defined that way, because it is like, people always think of violence as like, he hit her over the head with a club, or like he shot her or stabbed her.
Yeah.
Like, it is an act. I mean, think about, okay, if someone did hit me over the head with a club, I'd probably be woozy for a couple days. Probably be woozy for a couple days after having 2 roofies dropped in my drink, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a subtler version of violence.
I call on everyone in America to fire Andrew Wyatt, if he is your publicist, for the statement that this was the most racist and sexist trial in the history of the United States.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding
me?
There are 23 women. Is it 23 or has it gone up? Is it 27 now? Is it 30? More than 20 women came forward and told the same story about this guy sexually assaulting them.
Yeah, and it just so happens that all but one of them were outside the statute of limitations in order to do anything legally about it.
Yeah.
And that's what, everyone I've spoken to, particularly women, because, you know, we care about the whole sexual assault thing a lot. But women, like particularly women that don't watch the news very much, don't pay attention to this stuff as much as perhaps I do, kept saying, that's it. When I told them he got 3 to 10, and I'm like, what we have to realize is only the way that our legal system is set up, he can only be prosecuted for this one in Pennsylvania.
Right.
Like, even if all of the other ones are true, which I think we've all agreed that they are, it's the way our legal system is set up, it's you can't try him for something that is outside the limitations of what you can try somebody for.
But here's the other side of it. The sentence, I will say, in this case is really irrelevant. What matters is that Bill Cosby is a convicted rapist.
Yeah.
Now, okay.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh, but it's just crazy thinking about it. I grew up watching The Cosby Show. Like,
he was raping people while he made The Cosby Show.
7 years ago, I took an album from in here. I don't know if you remember this. His 8 and 10.
Yeah.
Is one of his best comedy albums. And I sat and listened to it in the other room. Because I thought it was so brilliant. I was a huge fan of Bill Cosby. And this is like when I found out what a dirty man Bob Saget is times 1,000.
Yeah. Well, Bob Saget didn't rape anybody.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But it's like, when I remember when I found out like Bob Saget's true personality, I was like, wait, so do all these famous people in these wholesome roles secretly have real lives and real personalities that are totally different from what they play?
Oh yeah.
And that was like my first realization of that. But the Cosby, oh God.
But this is the thing.
I mean, he's, especially with how much he...
You don't need to send him to jail at all, because everybody in America knows Bill Cosby. Everybody knows what Bill Cosby looks like.
Yeah.
And now every time people see him, someone is going to be like,
"People are going to spit at him."
Oh, that's the rapist.
Yeah, I was going to say that's you make a very good point. Like, he doesn't even have to. No amount of actual time behind bars will ever match what we all, the public knowledge about who he really is.
Jail may actually be
a safer place for
a
him.
A better place for him right now.
Yeah. Well, it's even O.J. Simpson actually came out and said how he should be put under protective custody in prison. Oh, you've got a friend in OJ. That's adorable.
You're
talk about the mighty falling.
Yeah, nice. I got to do this, and then we will be right back here on WMFO Medford.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can, and I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it again. I gotta say though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the shelterpetproject.org.
All right, we got one more. It's for Shay. Duncan.
Donuts? I imagine.
Duncan.
Donuts?
Duncan.
Donuts. Pumpkin something? Is this have something to do
no.
with pumpkins?
Duncan.
Duncan. It's entertainment. So not donuts.
Not anymore.
Wait, what?
That's it. Duncan. It's going to be Duncan as of January 1st.
You are kidding me.
They are dropping the name as they rebrand themselves as a beverage-led business.
What?
Yeah. They're still going to sell the donuts.
Dude,
but they're dropping the donuts.
As a born and raised Quincy girl, I take serious, serious issue with this.
Duncan.
The original Dunkin' Donuts is a block from the police station. How are we supposed to make fun of that fact if it's not called Dunkin' Donuts anymore? I always said that that was the reason that, like, the whole police donuts thing happened.
Oh, no, that happens in every city in America.
No, but I mean, like, how the stereotype came to be.
Cops love donuts. Yeah. Yeah, they're getting rid of the donuts as of January 1st.
They just know that the rest of their food sucks, right?
This is a stupid, stupid, stupid
this
decision.
Is such a dumb idea.
Stupid. Like, what does that even mean, Dunkin'?
Because the whole idea is that you're Dunkin' Donuts in your coffee. That's why it's Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
What a bunch of dummies. It won't even, the logo looks stupid now.
You know what? I know, because it's all orange, but then the apostrophe is in the pink. Like, what?
Why are you doing this?
You know what they should have done? If you're going to change the name, change it to Dunks.
Or Dunkies.
No, Dunks. Everybody calls it Dunks. Just change the name to Dunks.
Everyone from Quincy calls it Dunkies.
Well, you're from Quinky. And
Quincy.
I don't like to remind you about how wrong you are compared to the rest of the state, because you get upset.
Oh, how wrong I am compared to the rest of the state? You mean... in pronouncing it properly.